Two guys who love talking about a game within a game in association with Fantasy Football Scout. I'm Peterson.
I'm Andrew.
And this is FPL SideNet. Here's Chilwell.
Martial coming in from that left and firing home. Unstoppable. Pulisic. Giroud breaks through. Lacazette can have a pop and score a peach.
Hey managers, welcome back to the FPL SideNet podcast. We are recording this on Tuesday night, March the 5th. And as always, I'm joined by my man, Andrew, who continues to crush it with another green arrow. Andrew, how you doing?
Good, mate. Good, mate. How are you?
Good, good, good. Just another green. You just smash it. How many is this in a row now? Like 14, 15?
No. Eight. I'm pretty happy with that.
Number eight.
It was just a small one though this week. I think I got a green arrow by 1 point. So
you take it.
Yeah, we take it. Keep the streak alive. But yeah, still not in that elusive top 100K.
You are very close there. 104,000. You're right on the verge.
I'm getting there. This week could be the week.
It could be the week. But overall, a fairly decent game week for you. 80 points.
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad. I was pretty happy with it. I got, yeah, as you said, 80 points. Really, the star of the show for me was Areola. So last week, it was Jared Bowen who single-handedly got me a green arrow. And this week, it was Areola. So West Ham really carrying my FPL team the last couple of weeks. Yeah, so 13 from him. 0 pointer from Estupinian. That prick who can't wait to get rid of him. Gabriel, 6. So clean sheet from him, Ake, 2, then 15 from Foden, 5 from Palmer, 5 from Bowen, 7 from Saka. I had Captain Haaland, so 12 there. Blank from Tony, just 2 from him, and then Watkins gave me 13. So nothing on the bench at all. I've got mostly injured players on the bench, so thankfully I didn't need any of those auto subs.
Yeah. But I mean, yeah, you're a bit unlucky there. No Torres, and then, yeah, subbed on for a stupid nun. Duck egg for duck egg.
Yeah, exactly right. But I'm hopeful. I have held on to Pedro Porro this long. I'm hopeful that he might be back this week.
Yeah, well, we're still a bit unsure. Ange hasn't given us his words of wisdom just yet because, I mean, yeah, we're recording Tuesday night, so still a bit of time until we get all those press conferences. But, yeah, just... Yeah, I mean, you said it was a small green. It was a 7,500 green arrow, but it is moving in the right direction.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I would take a tiny green arrow, you know, every week for the rest of the season. I'd be very, very happy with that. So any green is good.
Yeah, it is good indeed. But yeah, that Areola 13 pointer. Oh, from the imagine if they kept the clean sheet as well.
Yeah, I know. I mean, he got 9 saves, though. Like, what an absolute hero.
Insane.
So, I'm not sure whether the pen save counts as a save as well.
I don't think so. He's separate. Always,
you don't think so?
No. Okay.
Yeah, because if it did, it's almost like an extra point for it because he got exactly 9. But, yeah, like, I didn't know that he got the pen save. I saw
really?
That it was still... Yeah, like I checked the score at halftime and I saw that it was still nil all. But at that point, I didn't realize what had happened just before half time. When I found out, I was very excited. Like, I think it's my first pen save of the season. And I know it's only worth 5 points, which is the same as like a goal for a midfielder, but there's just something special about it. Like, it's so much more exciting than scoring a goal because it's just so rare.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's so rare. Like, if you're lucky, you might get one, maybe two a season.
Yeah. I honestly don't remember the last time I got one. So, it's a once a season thing for me usually. So yeah, happy that it happened this week because I really did need it to get that green arrow.
Well done. Now I know you're bragging about your goalkeeper. I had my second goalkeeping clean sheet of the season, which is huge. We are game week 27 and I finally got a second clean sheet thanks to Dubravka with the 7 points. So that was quite good. Yeah, Gabriel with the 6 points. Moreno turning into a bit of a troll.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was looking really good for Villa. They looked like they were cruising. I was hoping he was going to get it like a sub, subbed out around the 60-minute mark because Luton were really pushing. Unfortunately, he didn't. He stayed on the pitch for those goals and got subbed later on. But yeah, Lamptey only played 45 minutes. And that's sort of the risk with Lamptey. I got a bit lucky the game week prior when I really needed the points, whereas this week, off at half time.
The week before, I think he came off on like 60 minutes and a few seconds or something, right?
Yeah,
it was so right on 60.
Yeah, so I got the 6 points last week. Wasn't to be the case this time around. Yeah, Palmer with the assist, Foden 15 points. He's just turning into Superman at the moment. De Bruyne, after watching him tear it up in the FA Cup, I was so excited to have De Bruyne, especially against that United side. But yeah, unfortunately.
And if you knew that he was going to play the full 90, you'd be certain he was going to return something. And I think he played pretty well as well.
It was he did.
Pretty unlucky that none of his passes, you know, ended up in an assist.
Yeah, really unlucky there. Yeah, Saka with the 7 points, but he had the early bath at halftime because Arsenal had that game well and truly sewn up. Yeah, Watkins, 13 points. Haaland, captain, which, my God, that miss, the Haaland miss. When I watched it back on the replay, how he has managed to miss from, like, on the goal line, from a Phil Foden assist too.
Yeah. Oh, man, I was watching it live and I just could not believe it. I was like, it's such a huge turnaround. Like, it was both of our captains, right?
Yeah.
And we both would have had the Phil Foden assist as well. It would have been pretty big for the game week, even though they are both pretty highly owned. I think it would have made a difference. So, but you know what? Having said that, like, if he makes that goal, that's the first Man City goal. We don't know whether Foden would have got his two goals after that. Like, the whole game would have changed.
Yeah.
So we actually don't know one way or another whether we would have been better or worse off. But at the time, it felt very painful.
It stung. And yeah, big game Dom Solanke, as you've labeled him sometimes, Dom Solanke, 2 points. So,
well,
yeah.
He was Dom so blanky this week, wasn't he?
Very so blanky against that Burnley side. So, yeah, 70 points for me, a 6-point red arrow. Not too bad. I've made quite a few gains the last few game weeks. So I'll cop it on the chin sitting at about 500,000. So
I guess it would have been a pretty close decision for you to whether to bench Doughty or Lamptey.
I went with the fixtures.
I suppose. I mean, they're both away games, but, I mean, Villa. You wouldn't have expected to get much from Doughty out of that Villa game. So you probably did make the right call, but it is always frustrating when your bench return.
Well, I was chatting to you prior to the deadline because I had such big benching headaches. I wasn't sure who to bench. And you sort of said to me, probably bench Pascal Gross. And I really didn't want to, but I sort of begrudgingly did it. And then when I saw those team sheets drop and Gross was on the bench, I was very relieved that maybe I'd actually made the right decision. So,
yeah, well, that's true. Like, I mean, who was it between? It was between Gross and wasn't it?
Yeah, it was between sort of like Gross, Palmer, and maybe Dom Solanke.
But Solanke was only based on the possible injury. Sort of once it came to light that he was probably going to play.
Yeah.
It kind of came down to Palmer. So I guess, yeah, you definitely made the right call. Yeah. I'm glad that the advice I gave you didn't lose points for you like it sometimes does. So
no, your advice was well needed this game week. So yeah, that's how I finished up. But we are heading into another double game week 28. So we've got Bournemouth, who are hosting Sheffield United, and Luton, who are playing away in both their fixtures against Crystal Palace and Bournemouth. So a bit to digest for managers at the moment because there's quite a few decisions to make, but it's a tricky one. Do you think there's a specific number of players we need heading into double game week 28 with these two sides? Because on paper, these two sides aren't exactly pulling up any trees at the moment. I know Luton look great, but they haven't won in I think they're on a 4-game losing streak at the moment.
Yeah.
Bournemouth where, you know, they did not look very good at all against Burnley, but managed to win 2-0.
Yeah, that's right.
Their performances have been a little bit wonky. So, but then we get the...
They haven't, yeah, you're right. They haven't been as good recently. I think everyone would probably agree that Bournemouth are the better team, but with the exception of Solanke, it was probably Luton that have the better assets, right? Like,
Yeah, possibly.
from an FPL point of view, I think
Yeah.
they've bref like I suppose with the injury to Senesi, I think Luton have got the best defensive asset in Doughty. I mean, you could argue that he's a better asset than even Senesi. So, it's really apart from Solanke, it's really hard to figure out who to go for Bournemouth. I kind of think their
Yeah.
next best asset's probably Neto, the
Yeah.
goalkeeper.
That's what I think too, because I don't really see. I mean, I know who was it? Was it Lewis Cook got two assists on the weekend? But I mean,
But they were, I don't know how repeatable that is. Like
yeah,
they were
that's not
kind of just,
repeatable.
they were just like hoofs down the line from, you know, from
Yeah.
halfway. Like at least the first one was. I can't really remember the second one, to be honest.
Yeah.
But I don't think we can expect two assists from him every week. That was a game of a lifetime for him.
Yeah, I think it's one of those lightning in a bottle games.
It's interesting, yeah. So I mean, if I think if you're a Dubravka owner and you don't have like a double game week goalkeeper already, maybe Dubravka to Neto would not be the worst move this week, even for a hit. What do you think?
Possibly, because on the other side of, I mean, it sort of depends how you set up for what you're planning to do 29. Like if you're free hitting it, yeah, I sort of understand that because coming out into game week 30, like Bournemouth's fixtures are pretty good for the next few game weeks because they come out and then they've got Everton at home, Palace at home, and Luton away. So, I mean, on paper, they look decent.
Yeah, so Neto's not a like Neto's not a bad transfer at all. I mean, he's nailed, obviously.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's going to get 6 points for the clean sheet. And he's probably more likely to get, you know, extra points from saves and bonus like than any other defensive asset. Like I think Zabani or whatever is the other sort of Bournemouth centre back that some people are looking at, but he doesn't really have any attacking threat and he doesn't really get too many bonus points. So I feel like Neto has probably got a bit more upside than he does.
Yeah, I think he does. I think yeah, it's tricky because I think had Senesi been fit, he's probably more of that option. And a lot of managers had already moved for him and now probably sweating with the, you know, it's looking like he's probably not going to feature.
I don't. I was watching when he sort of pulled up with that hamstring. It kind of
Yeah.
it looks like it's, you know, at least a month kind of injury to me.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't hold up out much hope at all for him in this double game week.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, to get back to your original question about how many players do we need, I think you want to have obviously Solanke is almost essential.
Yeah.
I don't know if you at. I think another Bournemouth asset's probably nice, but I don't know if you need another Bournemouth asset.
Yeah.
But you probably want at least two from Luton. So if you've got sort of three to four total, I think that's pretty well
That's
set
probably
up.
enough. I mean, because a lot of the single game weekers have really good fixtures too.
That's true. I mean, for example, like looking at our team or looking at my team, I've got Kaminski, the goalkeeper. I've got to bench Areola at home to Burnley in order to play Kaminski. So that's a bit of that actually turns into quite a tough decision on who to play. I think I'm just going to go for the double game week upside and just play. Like it's a bit more fun to have a double game week player and
It
hope that he
is,
gets a bunch of saves.
which he did in the last double game week.
Right, he did, didn't he? And I think that I don't know that Areola is going to have the opportunity to make nine saves this time against Burnley. So it might just be like a 6 pointer with a clean sheet, maybe a
Yeah.
7 pointer. And you'd hope that with Kaminski getting sort of 4 points just for appearance points, you could, and a few saves, you could probably outscore Areola. But yeah, it's going to be close.
I think Doughty's like probably the best defensive option between the two sides. Just from he's got the set pieces, he's putting in crosses non-stop all game. He's like it's like the
He's on all
Energizer
the
Bunny.
corners.
Yeah, he's on all the
I think he's on
corners.
all the corners. He just looks, he's just so good to watch. I've never owned him yet this season, but I'm definitely planning on bringing him in this week. So I'm gonna, in fact, I nearly brought him in last week for Estupinian. I just decided not to use the transfer, but I would have been 5 points better off if I had.
Yeah.
But yeah, I kind of, the reason why I didn't want to do it was for the exactly what we saw with Senesi. I didn't want to go for Doughty a week early, then he gets injured and I'm another transfer in the hole for the double game week. So
yeah,
what happened to Senesi in my mind kind of justifies the fact that I've thrown away 5 points by not bringing in Doughty, because that's the risk that you're trying to avoid.
Yeah, it does make sense, but yeah, unfortunately that's the way it went. But as we head into the double, whenever it's doubles and blanks, it always brings out chips. Now, there's probably a lot of managers out there that held the triple captaincy chip. I mean, we both went for Haaland a couple game weeks ago with that previous double. And there was talk that maybe this double game week might be better because Solanke's fixtures. And at the time, and that discussion made a bit more sense because he was on fire. Bournemouth were playing really good. Since then, the performances have dipped. The goals have dried up. He seems to be carrying a bit of an injury. Do you think that the triple captaincy is still there?
I still think it is, yeah.
Yeah?
If I don't have the triple captainship, but if I did, I would play it. You're right. Like, the performances have dipped a bit, but it's Sheffield United at home. Like, if you want to talk about performances that have dipped, then you only need to look at Sheffield United. I just think, I think it'll, I guess it depends as well on how many chips you've used. Like, if you're wanting to use a chip in each of the remaining double game weeks, then obviously you've got to use your triple captain now because you might not have another opportunity. But if you're not planning on using the free hit and the bench boost in the remaining two double game weeks, and I suppose maybe you could save your triple captain for one of those two double game weeks. But I do think that Dom Solanke will play these games, and I think he'll do well. It's just the fixtures are just too hard to ignore. I would still play it. There is a little kind of cheeky thought in my mind that you could maybe even play your triple captain chip on someone like Carlton Morris. What do you think about that?
I don't know. I look at these fixtures for Luton both being away, and I can see Morris getting a goal across these two game weeks. I think maybe max he might get two goals. Whereas Solanke with these two fixtures,
he's got hat-trick potential.
There could be a hat-trick there. Especially again, Sheffield, if they'll be looking at these type of fixtures going, okay, if there's any, not that they have any hope at all of staying up, but competitively, they'll be thinking, okay, we actually have to try to win this game. That might be a better opportunity there for Solanke in this game. And then, Luton. I mean, it helps that both fixtures are at home.
Yeah, it absolutely does. Yeah. I think I would play the triple captain on Solanke if I had it, but there's got to be a small worry in your head about that knee injury and like whether he plays that first game and then the knee injury it flares up a little bit.
Yeah.
And then he's not ready to go midweek. You know, like if you think about last week at the FA Cup, he didn't play midweek. Maybe this knee injury has sort of been bothering him for a while and he needs a week between games. So when there's a midweek game like there is this, like this week with a double game week, maybe there is that little bit of risk that he is going to struggle to make that second game. I don't think it's a huge risk, but I think that it is a risk that you need to consider. I don't know if you saw that last goal for Bournemouth. Who scored it? Was it Semenyo?
Yes, I think it was.
So like Dom Solanke was running to try to keep up with that play, and he couldn't. He looked like Joe Ingles trying to run down the court, just loping down the court, and he just couldn't keep up. Like the knee was obviously bothering him. So he's definitely not 100%, and there is a small risk when you triple captain him. But I do think, as you say, with the fixtures, I think it's a risk worth taking.
Yeah.
Because I think the fixtures are so good that they do outweigh that risk.
And for Bournemouth, looking at these fixtures, they're 2 6-pointers. And I reckon if they win both these games, they could categorically say that they'll be safe this season. It makes the task much harder. I mean, Sheffield are done, but it makes the task much harder for Luton.
That's true.
I think that Solanke would likely play, God willing. I think he'd have to be like really injured to miss these two games because they'll be looking at these fixtures going.
Particularly the Luton game, which they will absolutely see as a 6-pointer if there's any risk of them being relegated, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so yeah, maybe we have that up our sleeves. Now, there's a lot of managers out there looking to play through game week 29, and part of that means that loading up on Bournemouth players doesn't exactly work out because you don't have them for the blank game week 29 because they don't have a fixture. Now, you're one of those managers, and there's discussion about whether is it better to go Solanke or Morris. Or, you know, in some cases you could go both, but if there's managers out there making that one decision this game week and playing through, I know Solanke's ownership's going to be insane this game week, but you could lean possibly towards Morris.
Well, I mean, I guess you've got to think there's not too many managers out there that don't have Solanke already. But I am one of those managers. I don't have Solanke. I haven't owned him yet this season. So the
Not at
thought
all
has
this
crossed.
season. I thought
I've
you
never
had.
owned Solanke.
Oh,
Never owned
wow.
Solanke this season, though. I should have. Like, it wasn't good management, but I haven't owned him. So yeah, it's one of those questions though that I did ask myself this week. I was like, well, if Solanke is not only is Solanke a little bit sort of out of form, his knee's obviously bothering him. There's got to be some sort of risk that he doesn't play the second game. Morris, on the other hand, he's in fantastic form and he's got three games in the next 2 game weeks versus two for Solanke. So I think there's definitely some temptation to take an absolute punt and go for Morris over Solanke, just the three fixtures over the two. Like you'd think that the expected points would be roughly the same, the Morris in 3 games versus these 2 games for Solanke. But
Possibly. Yeah.
the flip side of that is just that if Solanke does do what we discussed, the fact that he does have hat trick potential, if he does score a brace or a hat trick in this double game week and you don't have him, he's going to be like 200 EO with all these with these triple captain chips flying around. Like I think 90% of people will have him as their captain. It could absolutely destroy your entire season if you take that risk and it goes pear shaped. So I just don't know if that risk is worth it. Like I think it's a I don't think it's a bad punt to take if you're not happy with where you are in the ranks. You're quite far down the ranks and it's a huge punt to take against the field to try to catch up in rank, but as I said, it could go very badly the other way. So I'm not sure whether I've got the guts to do it. But what I have been thinking that I might do is I might get them both. It was actually our mate TN who gave me the idea, so I need to credit him with the idea. I hadn't thought of it until he suggested it, but I might. Like my plan all along was to go Haaland to Solanke this week, and I've already got Tony and Watkins, and so that's my. So I didn't even give thought to getting rid of Tony this week because I knew I needed him for
You need
29.
him for
But
29, yeah.
I am thinking that it might be worth the extra transfer and the extra transfer to actually go Tony to Morris this week. So go Haaland and Tony to Morris and Solanke. And have both double game week strikers this week, and then just take an extra transfer next week, like take an extra -4 to get Tony back for that game week 29 against Burnley. Sorry, yeah, it is against Burnley. So I think I might actually do that. It's an aggressive play to take out Tony when I need him the following week, but I think that having both double game week strikers in the, and both double game week penalty takers, Solanke and Morris, I think it's a risk worth taking. I think that's what I'm probably going to do this week, to be honest. When TN first suggested it, I kind of brushed it off, but then it was a little bug in my head that I couldn't stop thinking
Inception.
about it. It really was. The more I thought about it, the more I thought that it made sense. It was probably worth, a little bit of an aggressive play to do it. Because I really do like Morris, the form he's in at the moment. Like since he came back into the team, he's played 7 games and I think scored something like 46 points. And in this in the last 8 games since Solanke picked up that little knee issue, he's only scored like something like 34 points. So Morris has been consistently outscoring him recently. So I think he could be a very good asset to have in the double. And I think that people that have both Solanke and Morris will probably have a pretty good week.
Yeah, they probably seem to be two of the better picks this game. Like, yeah, it's hard. I don't see too many managers out there rolling with both, just when you consider the other forward options we have in the game at the moment. Like Watkins sort of feels untouchable,
yeah,
especially with a 29 fixture.
You have to be willing to remove Haaland from your team. And that's difficult for a number of reasons, because it's Haaland, number
and his
one.
Price.
And his price, he's 14.5 now. So, I mean, I think I got him at 14. So, if I sell him, I'll get 14.2.
Yeah.
And then when I want to get him back, I'll have to pay 14.5, possibly 14.4, because he might actually go down. Like there's a few people thinking of removing him this week. He does have, who's he got? He's got
Liverpool.
Is it Liverpool?
Yeah.
So he's got Liverpool, and then he's got the blank, and then game week 30, the week after the blank, he's got Arsenal.
Yeah.
So it's a period of 3 weeks where 14.5 is a lot of money to have for a player that plays two games against the two other best teams in the Premier League over the course of 3 weeks. So I think that you can really consider taking him out just for a short time, and you obviously you need to have a plan to bring him back. My plan is to wildcard in game week 31, and so I'll bring him back then.
Yeah.
And yeah, it will cost me a little bit more, but hopefully the gains I make in the meantime are worth it.
I like the thinking. It's ballsy, but you've thought about it, and I like it.
I was always going to remove Haaland this week.
You were. You've been
Solanke.
Talking about it for a while.
So the ballsier move for me in my mind is getting rid of Tony when I need him for 29, but I think it might be worth it.
Yep, I like it. Well, that was a really good discussion about double game week 28. What we'll do is we'll take a quick break, and then on the other side, we're going to preview the upcoming double game week 28 and give our Goodwill punting picks. Okay, welcome back to the FPL SideNet podcast. And looking ahead to game week 28, Andrew, we have an early fixture this game week. After two barren weeks, we are back. 11:30 kickoff.
Yes, we're back, baby. I love that for us.
Which means a 10 p.m. deadline for the managers out there. And good way to kick off. It's a long weekend here too in Victoria this weekend, which is extra tasty, but
Not a long weekend up here. Like, what are you celebrating this time?
Oh, I don't know. Labor Day weekend. I don't know.
Absolute rubbish, you guys down there.
It's not for a sporting event, so.
Okay. Yeah.
Maybe we need one for the Grand Prix in a couple of weeks too. Oh, that'd be handy.
No, not the worst idea. Not the worst idea.
Anyway, United hosting Everton. Now, this, I don't know what to make of this game. It doesn't look that exciting on paper.
No, it doesn't. I mean, I was so excited when you said that we had the early game, and then I realized there's like almost
it's United
no FPL
Everton.
interest in it. Yeah. I don't know. Like, I think United will win that game.
You think so? Yeah.
I think so. Yeah.
You know what? Anana was actually pretty good the other day in the derby. I think if it wasn't for him, they get absolutely spanked.
He's actually come good. He's been playing quite well recently, and he's up there in terms of the Golden Glove, isn't he? He's got quite a few clean sheets, surprisingly.
Yeah, got a few, but I mean, chances are he's probably going to add to that. Everton just can't. They don't seem to score goals.
No. They can't even make pens. So yeah, it's
true.
I don't know though. I think they will score in this one though, because Man United, they just concede every game.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. They do like to concede, but yeah,
I can
it's gonna
see
be...
this being like a 2-1, but like Man United score in Fergie time for the winner.
Maybe indeed. I think there was 6 goals in injury time last game week. So there's a lot of goals. I mean, we
in
also
second
did get a
half
lot
injury
more.
Time.
Yeah, yeah, so yeah.
Yeah, wow, that's amazing.
So, I mean, we do seem to get a lot more injury time these days.
Yeah. Yeah, the start of the season, I think we weren't sure how much of an impact the extra injury time or was going to have on goals, but it does seem to have had a significant impact. Players are very tired at that time of the game, and defensive lapses happen.
So anyway, that's what kicks off the game week. And then, I mean, we talked about these teams before, but yeah, Bournemouth, Sheffield United in the first of Bournemouth's double, then Palace, Luton. So, I mean, Palace, they took that lead against Spurs the other day. They looked good, but then just run out of gas.
I think though, at home, they're a much more difficult sort of proposition. So, you'd think Palace would be favourites in that game,
I think so. Yeah.
but I think only slight favourites, and I can see it being because I think the new manager, what's his name, Glasnow, is
Glasner.
it?
Glasner.
Glasner. I think he's more attacking, so
Yeah.
it could be a classic Luton kind of 3-2. I guess that's what we hope for. We want
Ooh, lots of goals.
goals in the game. I don't know what to watch in that game. Do I watch Carlton Morris or do I watch Solanke?
Oh, I wonder what the goal rush show will be at this time. Then we've got Wolves Fulham. So yeah, Wolves adding to their injury woes. So it looks like Gomez might be missing this game as well. And yeah, Cunha's still out. Neto was a bit of a concern the other day too. Now
And
Fulham,
Polina's back as well for Fulham.
Polina's back, and considering that Fulham have picked up two wins against United and Brighton, all without Polina and with, makeshift forward Muniz up top, who our good friend Q from the FPL Amateurs of Odd podcast has been shouting from the rooftops for the last few game weeks and bought him in on his wild card too.
Good on him. Good on him. I mean, I wouldn't have made that pick, but we couldn't convince him, and he proved us wrong. He proved the doubters wrong.
He did. So yeah, Frankie Muniz doing the business at the moment. For how do you see this game going? This one looks a little bit tricky.
It's hard because I think Wolves have recently been really solid defensively at home. I think they've got a couple of clean sheets in a row at home.
Yeah.
But yeah, they weren't great against Newcastle. So, and Fulham, as you say, have been so impressive the last couple of weeks. So
Yeah.
it's another really difficult game to call.
Yeah, it's one of those ones where the teams feel evenly matched, and any scenario would not surprise me.
Exactly right. I mean, there's a few people out there that have got sort of got Neto. I think if you have Neto, you can. As long as he's
If he's
is
fit.
there an injury cloud around him, or did he just come off at halftime just because the
I
game was gone and they wanted to rest him?
think there was a little bit of an injury cloud around him. So we need to get a bit more information from Gary O'Neill before the
No,
deadline.
if fit, I would be confident in playing Neto against Fulham, and I even think that Ait Nouri is a good player to play against Fulham, but. I guess apart from that, there's not too much FPL interest in that game either, is there?
Not really, no, especially when Huang was, the big trendsetter the other week, and he's going to be missing anyway. So,
The hangover continues.
the Huang over is strong. Too many shots. Now, Arsenal host Brentford. Arsenal are just on a different level at the moment. I mean, we say it every week. What the hell did they do in Dubai? Because they have come
I
back and
know.
they just slap everyone every week.
And it could not be a worse time for Brentford to come up against them as well. Like we talked about it last week, there's no Pinnock, there's no Ben Mee. Both of their centre defensive pairing are out injured. They're sort of fielding a makeshift defence, and there's nowhere to hide against Arsenal, especially on set pieces. Like, how is Brentford going to defend Gabriel with no Mee and no Pinnock?
Yeah.
No Mee, no Pinnock, no bueno. That's.
Sergio Reguilón has been like really impressive for Brentford, but he leaves so much space behind him, and that was what was really evident to me watching that game against Chelsea. Just like Brentford were good, and probably the two-all draw was deserved from both teams, but Chelsea had their chances, and if they've had a bit more composure and class about them, they probably could have made them pay a bit more. But
Yeah, I think so.
yeah, well, considering we just watched Arsenal put five past Sheffield United in what, like 30 minutes this morning, like that's scary.
This is going to be another 4-5 nil game.
Yeah.
I
Yeah.
think I can't see Brentford scoring, which is another one of the reasons why I'm more and more comfortable selling Tony this week.
Yeah.
Even if I am going to bring him back next week. Yeah, I honestly just see this. Like, I mean, Arsenal, what, it was 6-0 versus West Ham, 5-0 versus, who was the next one?
Was it?
Burnley?
Yeah, was it?
I think it was Burnley. 6-0 versus West Ham, 5-0 versus Burnley, 6-0 versus Sheffield United. I see no reason why this game isn't just going to go the same way. Like Brentford without me and Pinnick, like that's 5-0 again.
Yeah, and it's sort of like pick your poison with the Arsenal. Like,
Yeah.
the triple up just feels so right, but just with these blanks and doubles, like we can't really just go all in with them at
I
the
just
moment.
yeah, I just cannot use a transfer to bring in an Arsenal player this week. But
Yeah.
yeah, I'm looking forward to hopefully having a triple Arsenal on my wild card very soon.
And then we've got Villa Spurs. Now, this looks like one of the tastiest games of the round, other than Liverpool Man City, of course. So, yeah, two teams really battling out for top four, and your Villa were so impressive in that first half against Luton, and then Luton just completely pulled the rug from under him in the second half. They just went for it. But man, Ollie Watkins is just, he could have had
he's
like
on
four
another
goals.
level.
He should have had four
Yeah,
goals.
he's fantastic. I'm just thinking back to the first time these teams played each other earlier in the season. I think Sun scored three goals from offside positions. So he didn't, he ended up, he scored a hat trick of offside goals. So obviously on another day, you know, he times his run a little bit better. The pass is timed a little bit better. He could easily score a brace in this game. You know, as you mentioned, the Villa high line. Spurs are going to have to go for it because how many points? I think they're 5 points behind Villa for fourth place.
I think so,
So
yeah.
they're going to go for the win. They're going to want to close that gap. This is an opportunity for them to close that gap. It's like you know, we talk about relegation 6-pointers. This is a top four kind of 6-pointer.
Yeah.
So that is going to leave many, many opportunities for Villa on the counter and Ollie Watkins again. So,
and also for Spurs.
Yeah, it's going
it's
to
gonna
be,
be this
it's
could be
just,
a genuine shootout.
it's going to be a goddamn basketball match. It honestly could be like 3-all.
Yeah. I see a lot of goals in that game, so there should be a lot of fun in there for.
It's going to be a fun goal. It's going to be a fun game to watch, no matter what.
Exactly, and then we've got Brighton hosting Forest. Brighton seem to have lost their mojo a little bit at the moment. I mean, they take on Roma in the Europa League on Thursday morning or Friday morning our time. So I'm interested to see what type of lineup De Zerbi puts out for that. But it's not like
surely he's going to go full strength against Roma, isn't he?
You think so? It's not like he really has the luxury to rotate too much anyway. But yeah, it's like it's a huge fixture. Could be a good opportunity for Forest here. They'll be a bit more rested. They've probably still got a bit of a chip on their shoulder with the way that they lost that game to Liverpool, like deep in injury time. So
yeah,
I don't think it's as clear cut a fixture as probably what it looks like on paper.
No, I think you're right. I think you're right. I'm just thinking back to the FA Cup. Like Brighton fielded a pretty strong team in the FA Cup, and then they ended up rotating in the league and benching Pascal Gross, right?
That's
So,
right.
yeah, it'd be interesting to see if they are prioritizing the cup and, you know, the European competition, because it's a trophy that they can realistically win, and the Premier League at the moment is taking is secondary. So yeah, it could well be maybe one more week for Estupiñán home to Nottingham Forest. Could be worth playing him depending on what the lineup is in the European game.
Yeah, true.
But yeah, and then also maybe an audition for Awoniyi for people's game week 29 free hits.
Yeah,
because I know that he came off the bench last week. He's coming slowly back from injury. He came off the bench last week. If he starts in this game and looks good and does well, then I really like him for the free hit in game week 29.
Yeah, he's definitely a player I've got floating around in some of my 29 drafts, but yeah, interested to see how it goes in that. Then we got the Claret and Blue Derby, West Ham against Burnley. Ooh, Jared Bowen owners out there like yourself. Maybe some more, another match ball for Mr. Bowen, maybe.
Well, I mean, I really hope so. I'd be shocked if he didn't get some sort of return in this game. And this is one of the games that, you know, I was looking at. This one and the Brentford game where he scored the hat-trick were the two that I was really looking at to justify bringing him in early. You know, like I looked at him and I thought he's not just a game week 29 player. So yeah, I'm very hopeful that he does well in this game as well. And then yeah, it'd be interesting to see if they can keep a clean sheet as well.
There's a good chance.
Areola owners might have back-to-back hauls.
Maybe. I mean, Burnley needs to get some shots off for a start. I know they get plenty of possession and touches in midfield, but yeah, it's just once they get to the pointy end of the pitch, they just lose all composure.
Yeah, and sometimes they're just taking low XG pot shots from outside the box, and that can be good for a goalkeeper in terms of saves. You know, a lot of kind of weak shots that just go straight down the middle, straight down the bread basket.
Yeah, good signs there for West Ham assets there. Yeah, the big one, Liverpool City. It's not a title decider, as you know, we still got quite a bit of football to be played between now and then, but it feels like a big marker for one of these sides.
Yeah, absolutely. What's your score prediction?
No, I reckon a Desmond 2-2. I'm going 2-2. Yeah.
I think Liverpool would be happy with that.
Yeah, I think, but you know what? I reckon both teams would be happy with that.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, maybe. I think Man City, with how many injuries Liverpool have, they might see this as an opportunity to close the gap a little bit.
True. Although that's a good point.
It is at Anfield, but I mean, there is going to be opportunities for Liverpool to counterattack. They're so good at that. Because Man City are probably going to have the lion's share of the possession.
Now for Liverpool, they travel to Prague, so they got Sparta Prague on Friday morning, whereas Man City are at home on Thursday morning against Copenhagen in a tie that they've basically wrapped up anyway. Yep. So
I think you'll see both of these teams almost disregarding the European fixtures this week. Like the fixture in the league is too important.
Yeah. I think we'll see the key assets. I reckon we'll see Foden rested for the Copenhagen game.
Yep.
I mean, yeah.
Maybe even Haaland.
Yeah, KDB maybe as well.
Thinks he needs to get a bit of his rhythm back.
Maybe.
Yeah, we might see Dan's scoring the winner in Europe again. That Liverpool player that no one had heard of until last week.
Yes, true. Yeah, he has been on a bit of a tear. So yeah, it's going to be such a good fixture. It's just a shame, 2:45 a.m. It's just like, that's such a horrible time. Monday morning, 2:45.
Yeah, I won't be able to watch it. I don't know what I'll do. I'll try to watch the replay without seeing the score, but I don't like my chances.
Tough one. And then yeah, Tuesday morning, Chelsea, Newcastle. Now yeah,
this is the big game of the week for you.
This has pink slip written all over it for Pochettino if they lose, I reckon.
Oh, and this game's on my birthday too. So
your birthday boy.
Yeah, hopefully Cole Palmer gets me a Hattie for my birthday. I'd be happy with that.
I hope so. So I'll be. Have to jot that down so I can send you a birthday message.
Yeah, definitely.
I got
if
you.
If you're not too grumpy,
I got you
after Chelsea losing.
Yeah, I'll just be like, "Fuck off! It's your birthday." I'm gonna go cry. No. Oh yeah, well, hopefully a Cole Palmer masterclass will be pretty good in that game. Yeah, I mean, I like
Chelsea in that game.
I do like Chelsea in this game, but I watch Chelsea all the time and yeah, they just disappoint week after week. So it's who knows what's going to happen in that fixture. And then yeah, finishing up Thursday morning, Bournemouth Luton to round out the double game week. So will be a fun watch. I think we'll just be wanting probably goals in that fixture, especially if, you know, like yourself loading up on Maris and Solanke, you just be hoping for a shootout.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I think most people, Yeah, I mean, most people, the main defensive asset that they were going to have and they were going to would be Senesi, and he's not going to be there anymore. People that have got Alfie Doughty, they don't like I don't even really see him as a defensive asset. You get him for the attacking returns. So yeah, if you've got a game that's going to be goals, 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 then I think you're happy with your double game week assets, because the goalkeepers can get saves. Alfie Doughty can get assists, and then plenty of goals for the attacking assets as well. I don't really think clean sheets are going to be much of a factor in this double game week.
I tend to agree as well. It's going to all be about those attacking points. And now it's time for Goodwill Punting, where we look at a differential for the game week. And I struck gold once again with Goodwill Punting. My boy Kai Havertz did not
You
let me
smashed
down.
it.
14 points, my biggest differential haul of the season. So yeah, 14 points, the goal, assist, all three bonus. Got the clean sheet point as well. Absolutely smashed it this morning, Cobra Kai.
Two games, 2 weeks in a row, you've got a double digit return from your Goodwill punting.
I hadn't had one
Mate,
all season, and then I've had two in a row.
maybe you need to start bringing these punts into your team.
Maybe I do. Yeah, it's
Is
not a bad idea.
this week the week that you'll do that?
Probably not.
All right.
Well,
Yeah, I mean, I
you did
got
all
6
right.
points.
Yeah, you did all right. You had for those that can't remember, you had Alexis McAllister, so he got that vital assist for the Darwin goal in the 90th, 100th, 1,000th minute there
Yep,
against
that's right.
Forest. So yeah, good return there too. So we both delivered this game week.
Yeah, but you're the clear winner. You're the clear winner this week.
The like we said last week, the listeners are the winner.
Yeah, that's
Goodwill
true.
punting is the winner.
The segment of Goodwill punting is once again the true winner on the day.
Very happy there. But yeah, who have you picked out this game? I'm guessing it's going to be a double game weaker.
It's got to be. It's got to
It's
be.
got to
It's almost law.
be.
We didn't talk about any real double game week midfield assets when we were going through, talking about game week 28. And I guess it's because the forwards and the defenders are the more obvious ones. But if you do have space to bring in a double game week midfielder, I actually quite like this guy, Justin Kluivert. So
Patrick's
he's only
son of Patrick.
is he really?
Yeah, Patrick
Oh,
Kluivert's
there you go.
son.
Fun fact.
Fun
So
fact.
he's only 4.6 million. He's only 0.5% owned. So he's massive differential.
Yeah, huge.
He did score in the last game against Burnley. He's basically their preferred option at number 10. He seems to get sort of 4 out of 5 starts. So you'd hope that he starts in both games. He usually gets about 70 minutes. So he's not as nailed as someone like Solanke, but I think his minutes are pretty good. And for that price, playing number 10 in that double game week fixtures to set of fixtures, I think he's a really good punt. So yeah, he's my guy.
I like it. I like it indeed. I'm going with Carlton Morris. So 5.1 million, 6.6% owned. I mean, we talked about him in length before that. I think it just happened to be that I got his name in the spreadsheet before you today.
That's right. But I mean, the funny thing is, you're probably not going to go for your punt, but I probably am. So
Yeah.
once again, I hope that you
That I
beat me this
smash
week.
it.
Yeah, I really hope so.
Oh, well, there we go. Let's see how we go. But anyway, time for captain, my captain. Top three options. Who have you got as top three captain options for double game week 28?
Yeah, it's pretty straightforward. I think Solanke is number one. So the only question, it's more of a vice captain question. I think Carlton Morris is my second favoured option for captain this week. So as I said earlier in the show, like I think if you're really chasing rank, I don't think it's the worst punt to captain Morris instead of Solanke, as long as you still own Solanke to kind of, I don't know, mitigate the risk a little bit. And then my third option, I've gone for the Bournemouth goalkeeper Neto.
Oh.
I actually don't mind captaining a goalkeeper in a
Is
double
this the
game week,
first time
especially.
we've had a goalkeeper listed
Is
in
it?
this
It could
segment?
be. It could be, but I don't hate it. Home to Sheffield United, you think that's just about a banker of a clean sheet. And then against Luton, I don't think he'll keep a clean sheet, but I think he'll make a bunch of saves and there's, opportunity for bonus. And yeah, like I can't see him scoring less than 10 points on the game week. So can't hate that as a captain shout.
Interesting. I like the logic. Like yourself, I've gone with Solanke. I think he's the obvious captain choice. This game, especially when there's going to be a raft of triple captainers out there going for him. Second, I've got Saka against Brentford. I mean, we talked about how juicy that fixture is for Arsenal, and the classic overlooking single game weekers over double game weekers type of game there.
Yeah, for sure. But I mean, hopefully, everyone's going to be captaining a double game weaker so we can at least have Saka at less than 100 EO and we can at least make some rank from owning him.
You'd hope so. And then third, I've got Jarrod Bowen, that home fixture against Burnley. I dare say if it wasn't for the double game week fixtures, Bowen's probably the best pick this game week, even though I've got Saka as vice captain. I think that West Ham Burnley game, it looks unreal. So that's who I've gone for. The FPL Side Net Podcast League. So game week 27 done and dusted. Mahesh Sharma still leading the way with their side into Melbourne. Drew Potter coming in second. Matthew Bye coming third. Schalke Lube in fourth, and our good friend Ashley Hubin, Kane in Diaz moving up to fifth. Andrew, do you know how close you are to the graphics now? You do,
I'm
because
getting
I
there.
wrote it in the spreadsheet.
I don't know how many points I am off the graphic, but
You're
yeah,
only
up to
like
fifth.
5 points off top 10.
Just wow. That's
So you're
just a
sitting 15th at the moment.
yeah, nice. All right. Well, let's work on that for this week. Maybe a Jared Bowen brace will be enough to get me in the top 10.
Could be. You are on the precipice of creating history. Me, on the other hand, I am sitting 52nd, so less said about that. The
What
better bet.
what's your OR at the moment?
It's like 500K.
Yeah, okay. So what's your target now?
Not to suck
Like,
FBL, which I'm failing badly at.
really do think that top 100K is like still well within reach.
My only I talked about this with you so many times. My only target is to beat my good friend Almut at this game, because I will never hear the end of it if he beats me after game week 38. So he's got a 20-point lead on me at the moment. So
Nah, that's nothing. That's nothing. You'll make
dark
that up.
days. Dark days in the Peterson household right now. But manager of game week 27, Megan Whitcomb, with her team, multiple scorgies. 96 points. So Areola, 13 pointer in goals there. Saliba with the 6 points. Gabriel with the 6 points. Virgil van Dijk with the 6 points. So just cleaning up in defense. And that's probably the biggest difference this game week for Megan there. So massive result. Foden, 15 pointer. Aaron Gordon, who got the goal, 8 points. Palmer with the
Did you have
five
any blanks at
points.
all? Any blanks at all, or full
Yes,
sweet?
Douglas Luiz was the only blank, 4 points. And then
That's
Megan.
not a blank. That's not a blank.
Oh
He
no,
got an
he got an
assist.
assist. He got an assist. Sorry, my bad.
Yeah.
I forgot about that. Saka captaincy there. Watkins, 13 points, and Haaland. So just ridiculous. And Megan's backup keeper was Leno from Fulham, who had 8 points. So
Wow.
just a ridiculous
Should have bench
stats.
boosted.
Everyone in her side returned this game week.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Bit
What a
unlucky not to
week.
crack 100, actually.
Yeah, very unlucky. One more return really is all she needed.
But that's just ridiculous. I mean, imagine getting all those clean sheet points from that defense there. So well
Unheard
done.
of this season.
Well done, mate. Megan, that is an insane score there. So now transfer wise, we sort of touched on it a little bit. I'm heading into this game week with two free transfers because I rolled. So I've already made one transfer. I did KDB for Heung-min Son the other day. So
Love that transfer.
I think Son now, and then out of game week 29 is really good as well, because he's got Luton at home. So that felt like a good transfer to make. I still got a second free transfer. And this is where I'm thinking of maybe going Malo Gusto.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, so they've got Newcastle at home. This more so for his attacking potential. He's really involved in the last few games. Poch has been playing a back three, so it's allowed Gusto to play more as a wing back, along with Chilwell. And yeah, in game week 30, when we're coming out of that blank game week 29, Chelsea host Burnley, which is as close to a clean sheet banker as you'd want, especially with some attacking returns as well. So he seems to be the
Okay.
only Chelsea player, him and Cole Palmer, probably the only two players holding their own the last few game weeks. So I'm thinking I might transfer Moreno to Gusto. Also frees up
Okay.
some cash for a potential Salah move in game
So
week 30.
there's no temptation to use that transfer to bring in maybe a Bournemouth defender.
A little bit, but I think
Because
the
if you look at but Bournemouth's fixtures coming out of 29, they're pretty good too.
they
Like
are, but I
game week 30,
feel
they've yeah, sorry, go on.
I was going to say I feel with the Bournemouth ones, you're just solely relying on clean sheet points,
Absolutely.
and they don't really keep a lot of clean sheets. Whereas with the Chelsea ones, there's a good chance of a clean sheet there, but there's probably more so attacking returns there with Gusto.
Okay. So
So.
if you bring in Gusto this week, so you'll obviously start him home to Newcastle.
Yep.
Who would you bench in that case?
I'm probably looking at benching maybe Foden. Trying to work out who to bench between Foden and Haaland this game week, but I think I'd rather have start Haaland.
Okay. I suppose you feel like you need to make a transfer this week because you're going to free hit in 29, so there's no
Yes.
rolling it.
Yeah, I can't roll it.
But yeah, to bench Foden or Haaland
Well, I
in
mean, I only play
favor
three
of
defenders anyway, so
yeah. No, true,
I mean,
true. No, I
I've got
guess.
Doughty, I've got Gabriel, it's the Malcolm
Okay,
in the
and
middle,
then
so
yeah, I guess I guess that was my question. So who are you gonna bench? Because if you remove who
well,
are
it's
you removing for
Lamptey.
Gusto? Lamptey.
Yeah, I'm removing Moreno for
Yeah.
Gusto,
Okay. Yeah, okay.
which yeah,
All right.
Moreno's been a bit of a troll in my side since I got him in, so.
Yeah, okay. No, that does make a lot more sense. I don't mind that. I don't mind that. I would still just for the fun of having a double game week player, I would be tempted to go for a double game week defender. But having said that, I do really like Gusto. I had him in my team earlier in the season, and he did some good things for me. And he just seems to be getting better and better every week. So
Yeah.
I'm definitely going to have Gusto on my wild card when I play that.
Yep.
So I understand that. I understand that transfer.
I think it might be one of those transfers, like you say, sometimes will bear fruit in the long run, like once we get to game week 30, because 29 is going to be so like just all over the shop. And then we'll just come out of that like calm seas and I'll be like, oh, I've got Gusto at home to Burnley.
Yeah,
Fantastic.
exactly. No, it's and no one else will have him, so it'll be a really good differential for you because he's at any time he could get like a 12 pointer
Yeah,
because
exactly.
he's more likely to get an assist than a clean sheet. But when you do have that good clean sheet fixture,
Yeah.
there's definitely an opportunity for him to get like the clean sheet, the full bonus, the assist. So he could be a differential haul for you in game week 30.
That's the thing. What about yourself?
So as I said before, I've got two free transfers because I did roll last week.
Yep.
But I am planning on taking a hit, so I'm going to make three transfers. I'm looking to go Haaland and Tony out for Solanke and Morris. Just
Yep.
really load up on the double game week forwards, and then I am going to bring in Doughty as well,
Yep.
probably for Nathan Ake.
Okay, those moves make sense.
So a minus four to bring in three double game week players. And I was having a look at like the transfers in just earlier today, and those three players are the three most transferred in
Yep.
pretty much like every hour at the moment. You can see each hour who the most transferred in players are. So I am happy to take a minus four in a double game week. I was having a look today and I realized I've taken four hits in the last 8 weeks. But they all have seemed to overall have paid off for me. So I'm happy to keep taking hits. I'll probably take another hit next week in the blank as well. But yeah, when there's blanks and doubles, I'm not afraid to take hits.
Oh, I like it. It's aggressive and it's working for you so far. Since we come back from the Christmas break, just been smashing it. So yeah,
Yeah,
if it
and
ain't broke.
I mean, there's definitely been a fair bit of luck involved, but sometimes I do think you make your own luck with aggressive moves occasionally.
And who's to doubt you, especially after that Bowen move a
Yeah.
couple of weeks ago. But yeah, before we finish up, remember Twitter and Instagram at FPL Signet and give Andrew a follow at FPL underscore Point Break. He's doing much better than me, so make sure you follow him before you follow me. Hit those like and subscribe buttons, and thank you so much to everyone out there for all the interactions and retweets and stuff like that. So we're so lucky. We've got such a great community here in Australia, and yeah, just really interacting with everyone around the world thanks to FPL Twitter or FPL X, whatever you want to call it. Choose your poison. Anyway, I'm tired. You're tired. You worked night
We're all
shift last
tired.
night. I don't know how you're still operating, but we did it. So double game week 28. Here we go.
Yep, can't wait.
So thanks again. Anything you'd like to add before we wrap this thing up?
No, I think it's time for you to say the line.
The line is, where is my tacos? I'm delusional.
That's not the one that I was talking about.
No, let your defensive sheets be clean. And yeah, actually, before I finish up, listeners, before we had to stop because there was a mosquito in Andrew's room, and it was so funny to watch him try and kill this mosquito buzzing around his head before.
I failed. I failed. It's still there.
Anyway,
It's still there tormenting me.
hopefully it's not gonna torment you during the night. But anyway, let your defensive sheets be clean and your arrows green. See you, managers.